Welcome to the Fort Polk Podcast. I'm Jeff England, and I'm so excited to talk about Black History Month. This month is an opportunity for us all to reflect on the incredible accomplishments of Black Americans throughout our nation's history. As we celebrate Black History Month, let us take a moment to recognize their indelible impact on our country from the start. To today, Black History Month is a time for all of us to learn, honor, and appreciate Black Americans' bravery and perseverance in the face of adversity. And it's also an opportunity for us to thrive or strive toward creating a more equitable society where everyone can thrive. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening to this podcast. I'm Jeff England from the Fort Polk Public Affairs Office, and today I have a special guest, Willie Chandler. How are you doing, Willie?
Fine, Mr. England, fine.
Let's get that microphone a little closer to you so we can hear what you're saying.
There we go. Fine. There we go.
At least
fine.
I had it on this time.
Absolutely.
Usually I'll forget to turn the mics on. It's like, what?
Oh, so listen, your opening music had my head nodding. I figured maybe you just continue to rock that a little bit.
I get a lot of people in here dancing to it and stuff. It loosens people up and it helps out a lot. So we've got, why don't you tell us a little about yourself today and, what office you're working from and all that stuff. Let's hit that out of the way.
Well, again, I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, I'm happy you're here too, man. I'm always worried that you guys aren't going to show up.
Ah, well, these special observances, the DOD has taken a hold of them, and I really appreciate, for not just for Black History Month, but for all of the special observances. So I work over in the EEO office. I am an EEO specialist for the garrison and Fort Polk.
Yeah, I'm always happy when the people in EEO don't know who I am. That means I'm doing a good job.
I hate to say it, but when people come, it's kind of like, internal affairs. Scramble. But I know we're just doing our job, making sure the process goes.
I've noticed some things about Black History Month. First, it's the shortest month. What is up with that? That's just wrong. Come on.
You have to ask Mr. Carter G. Woodson, from back in 1926, who basically tacitly started this whole thing.
And to top it all off, the two main holidays, mm-hmm. Martin Luther King mm-hmm. Jr. and Juneteenth, neither one in February.
I know.
I say just, make the whole year. Make the whole year History Month. That way we could always look into the past and never into the future.
It's true. keep looking forward, never behind.
Never. That's why, that's what I have. I have a saying that that's why the rearview mirror is so small and the windshield is so big. See?
Well,
keep an eye on the past, but always look forward.
What's the saying? I mean, if you're always looking behind you, if you don't know where you've been, you'll never find out where you're going.
That's right.
Understand where I'm coming from?
I do. Where am I coming from? I'm coming from back there. So we've got all kinds of neat stuff. And I recently found out, I cannot believe that it took me all these years to realize that I share a birthday with Jackie Robinson, one of the best baseball players to ever live.
Absolutely.
And that was so cool. It's like, I'm more excited about sharing a birthday with Jackie Robinson than I am with Justin Timberlake.
That's, I was going to say, Jackie Robinson, a great example of, a person who stood up tall had to. If you look at his stats in particular, you take the stats of Jackie Robinson and you put him to a baseball player of, contemporary days.
You can't.
You can't because, what he meant to baseball was something totally different than a guy,
icon.
A regular shortstop, second baseman. Absolutely.
Just great, great, great. And I love that. And top it off, the gloves that they used back then.
I mean, play second base with that one, right?
How do you do that? It's like slap it out of the air. It looked like a fly swatter. Let's see. I'm going to get right into some things like Fannie Lou Hamer. Mm. That's, you know, a lot of people don't know, people don't know names. And, you know, I'm horrible with names. I mean, I forgot my own sister's name for like a week. Mm-hmm. Couldn't figure it out. And she's older than me. So it's like, I'm supposed to know these things. If she was younger than me, it's like, yeah, whatever your name is. Yeah. But Fannie Lou Hamer once said, never to forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried us over.
Absolutely. Fannie Lou Hamer is one of those names, and we're talking about Black History Month. Fannie Lou Hamer is one of those names that, you know, kind of live in obscurity because, you know, she was a woman like a bunch of other folks who brought themselves up, you know, basically one of those pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And she, her crowning moment in glory was she formed what was called the Mississippi Democrat Party, People's Party, in which during the 1968 Democrat convention, they did not want to seat the Black folks in Mississippi. The Democrat Party in Mississippi did not want to seat the Blacks who wanted to vote. And so Fannie Lou Hamer founded this party, and what they did was they went onto the floor in Chicago and took the seats of many of the delegates from the Democratic Party. And what they did was she made it clear that, you know, Blacks were not going to stand down anymore. You know, we have a force now. We have advocates who can speak for the people and get them the right to vote.
That is so cool. There's a lot of stuff from the South, you know, from, mm-hmm. you know, from our area, from Texas all the way over to Georgia, South Carolina.
Sure.
And the first Black politician voted into office was from Georgia. And that is saying something.
Yeah, well, it certainly is. I mean, you know, it certainly is. A lot of people would think that was a small step, but again,
no, it's huge
step for during that time. Now we look back on it, and this is what we say, you know, we want to continue to not dwell in the past, but you got to know about the past.
You got to know it. If you don't know the past, you're destined to repeat it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the past is not something that is only for making you feel good. Mm. It's, you got to learn from it. And if the past is something that makes you ashamed or something that upsets you, well, that's good.
Absolutely.
Change it. Make it better and don't let it happen again.
I agree.
It's like the people that are trying to erase our past is they're not doing anybody any good.
Yes.
It's like we got to make sure that we know where we came from so we can know where we're going.
I think and that part where you say about people trying to erase our past, you know, again, looking back in the past, there's no problem with that again. But what we don't want to have are people now thinking that, you know, to look in the past means being a victim here in the present.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like Fannie Lou Hamer and all of these other folks who actually took the burdens of many people on their shoulders, they did that so that we in the future could, you know, in their future anyway, could look and say, okay, well, we won't have to be victims anymore.
Exactly.
You know, we can meet our own standards. You know, we can meet the world on its own terms and continue to move forward.
Yeah, Rosa Parks did not sit in the front of the bus for nothing.
No doubt.
No.
No doubt.
She did, no. And so we've got a lot of things. Texas and our newest holiday, Juneteenth. Juneteenth. And the story behind that is just, I don't get it. I don't get it. Why did it take so long for the word to get to Texas that slavery was abolished?
Well, you know, I mean, General Sherman's fighting his way down south. He's fighting his way through the South, and now he's and basically, you know, when the word of the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of the war hit, the people in Texas, particularly out there in little old Galveston, they did not know what was going on. You know,
I guess there was no internet back then.
Well, there was no internet, you know, I mean, let alone, you know, a sporadic, you know, telegraph service, right? He's fighting his way. The people in Texas are trying to figure out what's going on because east of them, all of their contemporaries are being set free. And so it took special dispatch, you know, from the Union to push into Texas to, and it was a battle, the final battle of Galveston, where, you know, these folks actually now got the word that, hey, the war is over. You are free. And that did not just go to the slaves themselves, but honestly to the slave masters, the slaveholders. So, you know, big thing there. And that's, again, took a long time. That's why Juneteenth was a Texas holiday per se. But eventually, you know, they made it a national holiday.
Now for everyone.
Absolutely.
And it's in June, so we can have barbecues.
Absolutely, so, yeah. No doubt.
I love grilling.
No doubt. Barbecues and nice weather. Except nice. In Texas in June, it's a little hot.
Yeah, but they had the same. I've heard stories about the problems with news getting to people saying that the war is over. Even after World War II, there were Japanese out in the islands, in the outstretched islands, that didn't hear about the war being over. And it's like years later, they're still fighting. It's like, whoa, that's sad.
Can you imagine, you know, taking a trip, you know, about 10 years later to Wake Island, you know, the Wake Island resort and
you get,
you know,
attacked.
A Japanese soldier, you know, a graying haired Japanese soldier is like trying to still guard his post, you know.
It's like, amazing. Dude, lay down, settle down. We're
so much for my family trip.
But some of the people that we are that we can look to for good things, like historians, historians like Dr. Carter Woodson. He's an American historian and an author and a journalist and, you know, all the other things. But he's also the founder of the Association for the Study of African-American Life and History. And he was one of the first scholars to study the history of the American, what do you call that? A diaspora.
Diaspora. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, which is interesting because the diaspora, you know, it rose out of the South and up into the North. So when he's talking about, you know, the overwhelming majority of black folks who were down in the South, who are now rising up from slavery and moving to places like North Chicago and big cities like Detroit and New York City and Philadelphia, you know, Carter G. Woodson looked into that and made a study. And quite frankly, you know, without that, we would not know what was then now called the Great Migration of black folks who not just left slavery, but also left Jim Crow and went to places that were somewhat friendlier. You know, I mean, not all the way, you know.
Yeah, we still got work to do.
There was still, you know, work to do in those cities that they moved to. But at the very least, you know, they had, you know, a few things that they didn't have in the South, particularly the right to vote.
That is kind of sad, you know, and but I'm glad that we were able to get that corrected early.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that people don't realize. That happen, you know, that were at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the right to vote for black Americans actually came earlier than the right for women to vote.
Absolutely.
And people don't, when people hear about that, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. Women weren't allowed to vote? Learning history makes you appreciate where we are now.
Yes.
We still have a lot to go, or we still have a lot farther to go, mm-hmm. but we have come a long way. And I ain't talking about no cigarettes.
Indeed.
You come a long way, baby.
Long way. Yeah, Virginia Slim. I remember that commercial. All right.
Now the theme for this year is Black Resistance.
And actually, it's Inspiring Change.
Inspiring Change.
Wait. Yes.
Oh, I got some. Yeah. I got some bad information from Mr. Chandler. Change.
Yeah. So Inspiring Change, basically epitomizes the contributions of African-Americans, challenging racial inequities and promoting opportunities for equal advancement in the African-American community. And Inspiring Change is something we were talking about when we look at the change that has happened from the past till now.
Okay. And there's been a lot of change.
Well, this change has manifested its ways over the years in several ways. You know, changes to unjust laws, agencies that deemed, now we have federal agencies and state and local agencies that deem equality and hiring practices as beneficial and definitely part of the vision.
Absolutely.
And then the biggest thing, I think, and many might think, is the general loosening of social attitudes to those who are different, decidedly different in other people's eyes.
And unless you're in school, then you don't want to stand out.
Well, so they say. I mean, you know, especially if you're a middle schooler.
Absolutely. Come on, I just want to be normal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the idea is to continue along those lines in those three areas, you know, as we move into the future in all sectors of society.
Now we've got some real impressive historical figures throughout American history, mm-hmm. in addition to like everywhere else. But I'm sorry, just something good popped into my head when I said American history.
Not
because it's so funny to hear people speak or talk, and they're so worried about political correctness and all that stuff. It's mm-hmm. They're African Americans. Mm-hmm. So they go over to, they're talking about people from Africa, and they're mm-hmm. talking to Africans in Africa, and people are still calling them, they're African Americans. What? No, over in Europe, they're African American. No.
Well, it's interesting. I mean,
they're Europeans.
There is a way that, you know, that evolved, you know, the whole term African-American, let me go into that. But I mean, you know, me, you know, being almost 60 years old here coming up, you know, in my day, you know, we were colored.
Yeah.
And then we became black. Then we became African-American. Well, actually, before that, we were Negro, then colored, then African-American,
then African-American,
then black. Or, you know, and basically it's something that has evolved. And that's what, you know, I was talking about with that, you know, that whole idea of loosening of social attitudes.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the idea to continue these things along lines, there's nothing wrong with people defining themselves and then redefining themselves.
Now, the big one that I got was, I went through this whole thing, and I wanted to know why. African-American. Africa is a continent mm-hmm. and America is a country.
Yes.
So it's African-American. And so it's like, well, but it's like I'm like Irish-American, or if you're from Europe or a white person, mm-hmm. it's German-American or Irish-American. Or,
right.
And the research that I found really made me understand. And it's like, that makes so much sense. It was because the African Americans, their whole culture, their whole country of origin and all that was stripped from them.
Yes.
It was stripped. So they didn't have a place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it referred back to the continent, because you can say you're Congo American or Kenyan American or South African American. But so it's African American.
Yes.
And I still have a problem with that. Because I believe that the people that want to be called African American are more American than I am. They are American. And it's like, I forget who said it, but mm-hmm. it's like Rosa Parks didn't sit on the front of that bus to put to be able to put anything in front of American. And it's you're American.
Well, okay, so you've heard of the melting pot, right?
Oh, not no more. We're like more like a tossed salad.
Okay, well, there you go. You have the salad bowl. And the truth is, you know, in a place like America where, you know, unlike, let's just take Sweden, for example, it's a very homogenous area. I mean, everyone there are Swedes, no doubt about it. In America, since its founding, has had a smattering of cultures all over the place. So when we talk about African-American, let's just take African-American and Italian-American. Italy, country, an established country, dates back from hundreds to thousands of years. Okay?
Romans.
From Rome, yes. Okay? Africa, a continent in which tribes existed, okay? There were no countries there. So, you know, in West Africa, if you're a slave trader back in the day, if you were one of those people who transported slaves across the Atlantic Ocean, you don't know what tribe a person that you have gotten. You know, they did not know. I mean, they could have come from what is now known as Senegal. They could have come from what is now known as Cameroon. You know, they would go deep into the continent of Africa to get slaves, okay? And so that's, when we say African-American, it's because you can't tie down a black person to a particular country. You can tie down an Italian person into Italy, or Spanish American, you can tie that person, or German American, you can tie them down to that particular country.
Because that country goes back that far.
Because that country goes back that far. Back that far, you did not have. What you might have had back then was a Zulu, or a Tutsi, or you know, whatever other type of tribe, Yoruba. You could have, Swahili is the language, but there are different languages throughout the entire continent of Africa, even at that time. So who's to say, how could any one person say, well, you know what, I'm a Cameroonian American? You can't, because Cameroon didn't exist back then.
No, that makes, it absolutely makes sense. And I, after learning that, I appreciate it more now. And, you know, because knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
And to be as powerful as you can, know as much as you can.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes us great. And so we've got some great Americans that have made large steps forward and strives, striving for a better America, like politicians.
Absolutely.
Well, for the most part, politicians want America to be great.
Some
just want to line their pockets.
Some just want to be great, that's another topic another time.
Some of the more famous the more famous names that we might know from politics, John Lewis.
And he got into that good trouble, as John Lewis used to say. He used to get into that good trouble.
And we got Barbara Jordan, and we got Shirley Chisholm, and those that's just a few.
Absolutely.
And of course Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
you can't sidestep that.
That's absolutely
the most popular president ever.
The very first black president, okay, that you know the United States have had. And it's kind of interesting because when we talk about great people, I just want to go a quote here. If you look at sports, you talked about Jackie Robinson. But how about John Thompson?
I don't know. Jackie Robinson better.
Okay. But here's the thing, because we talk about the first black president. John Thompson was the first black man to take and win his basketball, the NCAA basketball championship with his team in Georgetown. When they asked John Thompson, after the game, and he's doing the press briefing, and one of the reporters asked him, how do you feel, John, to be the first black man to win, first black man whose team to win the national championship? And he says, I'm not interested in being the first black anything, because He said, it implies that in 1984, a black man was finally able to be smart enough to win this. And quite frankly, that implies, that blacks across, the century, across the years have not been smart enough. No, this is a man who got the opportunity and took advantage of the opportunity. And so, that kind of rings out because he's not, again, this is not him looking in the past. This is him saying, guess what? I did it. Other black men can do it too in the future.
Absolutely.
And women, by the way.
It's some of my favorite entertainers. Morgan Freeman, hands down, is like the voice of God. He is absolutely. He is absolutely wonderful. Samuel L. Jackson,
absolutely.
Yeah, reach into that bag and pull out my wallet.
He's the voice. He's the voice of the F word.
But you know it.
All right.
And
James Earl Jones.
James Earl. Oh,
the voice of Darth Vader.
Oh my God, his voice is historic.
Absolutely.
But I wish if I could talk like James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman, I could make so much money. It's like, he was a good man. Yes. It's
like, oh my God. Old Barry White.
Oh, dude, if I could sing like him. Oh.
There we go.
Let's spin the dial. All right, never mind. I'll sing another time. John Thompson mm-hmm. is another sports figure.
Yep.
And then in science, one of my favorite, George Washington Carver.
Mm.
Not only was he a great inventor?
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter? Anybody?
No doubt.
But
give me my snick.
One of my favorite
all day.
One of my favorite skits from Saturday Night Live when Eddie Murphy was on there talking about poor George Washington Carver trying to squeeze a peanut into a trying to play a record with a peanut.
With a peanut. get into entertainment,
Oh, and speaking of Eddie Murphy.
Pick Eddie Murphy.
Oh, absolutely. My God. Some of my favorite, some of my favorite comedians, Eddie Murphy and
pick Red Fox, pick, Rich Pryor,
Chris Rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
And God, what is his, he's working with,
and before that,
no.
Mom's Mabley.
Richard Pryor.
Big Wild Man's theme. Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Who? Gosh, now I've got a mental block again with stupid names. No, he works with The Rock. Dwayne Johnson.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart.
Absolutely.
He's. I love this.
Absolutely.
And he can carry. He can carry the maps. He's the map guy.
These are people. These are people. People like again, looking back and going forward. These are people who stood on the backs of people like Red Fox and other folks. Like Amos and Andy. Who people thought that they were. Not, I'd say belittling the race, but the truth of the matter is, those guys were absolutely smart fellows, and they marketed their shtick, and because of what they did, Richard Pryor could come along. Because of what they did, Kevin Hart could now be successful, and I'm pretty sure they would absolutely say it. And for women, Moms Mabley,
who played in she was the first black actress to win an Academy Award.
Hattie McDaniel.
Back in the 30s?
1939, Gone with the Wind.
1939. And and I just heard somebody recently make the mistake of forgetting about her. So, I'm the first person, and because of people like me, other people that it's like, what? No, you learn your history.
Yes,
come on.
Absolutely.
And then Sidney Poitier. Oh my God, yeah. One of my favorite songs is from his movie To Serve with Love. Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Should have been an Oscar winner on that one.
Absolutely.
But he did win for Lilies of the Field.
Lilies of the Field.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So,
and it's like, and was it Morgan Freeman or no? It was who was driving Miss Daisy?
Morgan Freeman.
Was it Morgan?
He was Hulk.
One of my favorite lines is from that movie, and I say it when I'm saying it every time I give somebody a ride. I'm trying to drive you to the stove.
So,
I love it.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know, he was trying to drive her to Piggly Wiggly. If you've been in the South, you know exactly what that store was.
I went to Piggly Wiggly in Georgia.
Absolutely.
But we also got Mae Jemison.
Mae Jemison, first black woman astronaut to fly into space.
That is so cool.
And big.
I want to go into space. Oh. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
As soon as they find one that's habitable, trust me.
Oh, my God. I am so into astronomy now. I'm looking at all these different planets. Like, that is so cool. And that is so cool. And now they're talking about Dyson spheres. Mm. And there's one that's like 27 light years from here that they're thinking that a Dyson sphere is being built because one of the planets disappeared.
Mm.
It's like, oh, well, okay. we'll get into that another day.
Well, ask Neil deGrasse
Tyson.
Tyson, there we go. Ask him.
Yep, and Mikiu Kaku, my favorites.
Absolutely.
And my wife just read a couple books I just said her name just earlier. Harriet Tubman. She just read books on Harriet Tubman and found out things that we didn't know.
She was a tough character.
She was awesome.
She was a tough character.
First subway conductor.
There you go. And you know what's interesting? Growing up in New York, when we used to hear about, we did learn black history in school. Uh-huh. It was the basic stuff. But when I heard about to Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad, I'm thinking, was she driving the J train? I mean, but no. I mean, the Underground Railroad, for those who don't know, was a series of stops along the way from and different routes with different points of contact and with different
safe houses
and things like that to get people.
And
from
that's
the south
I heard.
To the north.
I heard that some of the clues or symbols, signals that this is a safe house was lawn ornaments.
Absolutely.
Was it the jockeys?
I can't exactly.
I don't remember, but I do remember that they were lawn ornaments. If you saw this lawn ornament out here, and I think it might have been the jockeys lawn ornament, that was a safe house that you can get to. And
interesting.
It helped people out of the South.
Absolutely.
And one of the great Americans.
Absolutely.
Just one of the many. One of the many.
Absolutely.
And then we've got activism. Mm. The activists. One of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of his.
You know,
him and Al Sharpton. There's something about those two that just don't ring well with
people,
me.
People are a little, earlier we made a joke. We were joking about, EEO coming in and everybody scatters. Well, it's the same as internal affairs, for police.
Yeah.
Well, the truth of the matter is for activism, a lot of people scattered in Jesse Jackson's established career as an activist. Mm-hmm. When he was younger, he did a lot of speeches. He marched with the civil rights movement and all. But when he became his own entity, he got the attention of a lot of companies out there when he talked about diversity. And he shook companies down in order to promote diversity within the company and also in order to, promote his own
agenda.
And there is back and forth on that. But you can't deny the fact that, they got their agenda across, for black folks and they were heard by the people who didn't listen to other regular, so to speak, quote unquote, black folks. folks.
Yeah, I mean, he did. I'm not gonna fault him. He did do a lot of good.
Absolutely.
But then there's just, I don't know what it is. It's just, maybe it's just personality. I don't know.
One of the loudest voices, I would say this, to move on. I mean, one of the loudest voices for change.
Maybe it's more Al Sharpton. I don't know. Yeah. But, oh, you know, since we're here at a military installation.
Absolutely.
You can't deny one of the greatest generals ever, General Colin Powell.
Oh, yeah. You can't deny General Colin Powell, you know, fellow New Yorker like me. You know, he's got the West Indian background, and he was an example. And if you read, you know, his biography, you know, he came up the same way a lot of us did, you know, through meager existence. You know, his family, his father and mother were hard workers, but you know,
those are the best. Yeah, those are the best. It doesn't matter who you are, when you come up from nothing into greatness and you bring yourself up and it's not just handed to you.
Yeah.
That makes for an awesome, awesome person.
The right people recognize the skills.
Exactly.
And when they realized that they had this person who was a high riser, regardless of his race, they decided to push him forward and, you know, why not, right?
And another, I have to mention this because he's one of my favorite generals, one of my favorite commanders ever. And he went from 1-star to 4-star in like just a couple years. Hmm. General Britto, Gary Britto.
Absolutely.
Our former commander here at Fort Polk.
Absolutely.
He is now a 4-star general, one of the best leaders we ever had.
The, you know, particularly important bases like Fort Polk, where units come to train, to hone their skills, and leave here, you know, sharpened, you know, like a knife. Back in the day, quite frankly, when I was assessed into the Army and commissioned, we didn't see, honestly, quite frankly, we didn't see men like General Britto at any of these places like JRTC or NTC. It just didn't exist, and through no fault of the Army's own, but through, you know, finally recognizing the skills of all its personnel, you know, we did get folks like him, and I understand he did a great job here.
He did absolutely wonderful here, and we miss him a lot too. He's a great guy. And some other notable that everyone knows, Tuskegee Airmen.
Absolutely.
Never, and if I'm not mistaken, never lost a bomber.
Never lost a bomber.
Never lost a bomber. Nope. And it's like people were sitting there going like, we want them to escort us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you get a chance to watch that movie, you got to watch it. What is it? Red Tails?
Red Tails was the one. And then they did another one called the Tuskegee Airmen. It was a TV movie. Anything you can see, whether you can see any of those, you know, Hollywood movies or a simple documentary, or I would recommend if anybody likes museums, there's a great museum in Georgia in the Fort Stewart area that has, you know, talks about the history of the Tuskegee Airmen and some of the black pilots who flew.
I think that it is one of my favorites because, you know, never losing a bomber because you're escorting them.
Yeah.
And to go from, we don't want these people flying and helping us, to
absolutely
requesting them. It's like, no, we want them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like that says a lot. I mean, I love that. I love that kind of stuff. And we could just go on forever naming all these great Americans that that helped and it to build and to shape our future and our present.
I think that's the key thing. You know, again, you know, these folks did what they had to do as individuals to ensure whole collectives of people got the same opportunities they, and then some further opportunities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like in law.
Absolutely.
Thurgood Marshall. And Clarence Thompson.
Yep. And you know, Clarence Thomas, who was, you know, basically Thurgood Marshall's replacement on the Supreme Court. Both of them did just awesome stuff for law. You know, Thurgood Marshall and what he did alone to promote and to take up the cause of education equality, not just in South Carolina where it started, but across the nation. What he did for the NAACP legal defense, it was just, you know, I mean, you would have to read it and understand what he did step by step. And that is why he was clearly the number one candidate for the Supreme Court when he was assessed into it.
Now, I do have a couple questions. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to get your ring on it. It's like, because, you know, this is Fort Polk mm-hmm. and the JRTC, but let me ask you, why do young soldiers and DOD civilians, why do they need to know about the actions of their predecessors in duty?
My opinion, I think young soldiers need to know that based on what we've already been talking about. What these folks have done, and not just in military, but in civilian service, what these folks have done have put together a roadmap for them to be able to better themselves and to move forward in society in a way that, you know, kind of exceeds what their predecessors have done. So I think it's important for young soldiers to know that. It's important for young soldiers to have mentors, and they have them. You know, I had a mentor. Most young soldiers, officers have mentors, people who tell them the way to go moving forward. And this is the thing that's going to not just make it better for you in your career, but you moving up and making it better in your career is going to make it for the people that you work with and the people who work under you. So that's military and civilian. And I think that, you know, it's important to know these things because, you know, you got to study the adversity that others have had, you know, that they've gone through in order to make your existence even possible. Yeah. So I think that's
talk about a legacy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Big
talk
time
about it. Now, how do the general attitude toward acceptance of today's military and civilian service members differ from those of, you know, 30, 40 years ago?
You know, it's kind of
interesting. Did I stump you?
Well, no, it's kind of interesting because as I look at and working in the EEO realm, where in the Army I worked in the EO realm as well, you know, the ratios of soldiers, and we're talking about race and culture, the ratios are still pretty much not far different from when they were back then, 30, 40 years ago, which 30 years ago was, you know, when I joined the Army.
Yeah, it's hard to it's hard to imagine that 30 years ago was like the 90s.
Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, back then it was not so much a concern. And it was not so much a concern to the detriment of the service because, again, you know, when you look at, you know, the grand scheme of things, you know, equality was not the same as it used to be. Equality was not put on a pedestal, so to speak. Nowadays, it's much different. Even though the ratios are the same, the military and civilian component has taken steps to make sure that everyone gets a chance. So I think the general attitudes of society has done that because back in the day, yes, we did learn Black history, but it really wasn't an emphasis placed upon it. As much as an emphasis as it was placed even way back before then to keep the races separate and to keep inequalities going, you know, nowadays, you know, everyone knows about, you know, this particular culture and some of these people. And again, we continue to impress upon our young people to get better in that. And I think that the way they have changed society is for the better.
Absolutely. And finally, one last question before we go. How do we get resources, you know, relevant to this and every month, but these special observances going forward this year?
Okay. if you want resources, online resources, I would direct everyone to the DEOMI, Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute.
I almost got a job there, you know.
Did you really?
Yeah, I almost did.
Okay, you would have been in a lovely place
down
in Florida.
Oh, yes, I love Cocoa Beach.
But I would have everyone go on in Google, and I direct you to the DEOMI website. They have tons and tons of information that you can use to share with your components, and make sure that they understand exactly, you know, the importance of all these observances. And if I may, so really quickly, I'm pretty sure we have some things going on here in Fort Polk.
I'm pretty sure we do too.
So, for example, you look at the DFAC schedules. I understand that they're going to be doing ethnic meals for Black History Month. The Forge, if everybody wants to know, the Forge, they had a wonderful, I remember in, not Asian Pacific, but Native American Month, they had a wonderful meal prepared. And I think they're going to do the same here on the last, I think it's the last Friday of the month. So keep looking out for that. And
Charles has done a lot of a lot of that cooking.
Absolutely.
And he's absolutely awesome.
Also, I'm pretty sure the CG will sign the special observance letter, an announcement, pronouncement for Black History Month. That'll be signed by the CG and the CSM. And I don't know, but I would imagine the eGuardian.
Absolutely.
So you guys,
yes, we don't forget it.
So other than those, I think, you know, there are plenty of resources out there. Just, you know, if you really want them, go search for them. You'll find them.
Oh, that is so great. Willie, I appreciate you coming in. Willie Chandler from EEO and EO and EEEEO. You got all kinds of letters over there.
There we go.
Willie, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. And we love having you back. We're going to schedule another time. I enjoy talking to you. It's great in here.
Okay.
I'm Jeff England, and this has been the Fort Polk Podcast. We'll be listening at you later, so be sure to tune in every week as we call in and figure out what we're going to talk about every week. So be sure to subscribe and be sure to listen in. I appreciate it. We're out of here.